Hey, whatever happened to that guy that a couple of years ago that was making his whole career imitating Sidney Greenstreet? Huh? You remember that guy? Yeah, he was on television all the time wearing that white suit going...
My dear fella.
Don't you remember that? Gee, those are quick careers. Where is Vaughn Meader tonight when we need him? You know, speaking of quick careers, somebody asked me what the word is today. I have to keep you informed as to what the in words are. You recall when they were wild, everything was wild. Everything was groovy. That seems back in the antediluvian days. Well, right now it's get it on. And that's very important. Get it on. And another phrase that you must use as often as you can is hang it up. That's very good. You keep hanging things up. Hang it all up, man, this time. Go all the way and get it on. So that is already built-in obsolescence. By the time you hear this, and it only takes microseconds for it, hello, test, 1, 2, 3, microseconds to get from here to there, it's already out. And the ad agencies, have you ever wondered why ad agencies are always so behind in their slang? I mean, you see some commercial come on and they're saying something that was already going out in the Cosmo Girl world 2 years ago. Well, it's because it takes about 2 years to produce a major commercial. And the minute the guy sits down and types, it's really with it, you know, at that point, it's really on. And by the time they get the thing shot, they've gone to Europe, and they got the helicopters that blew up, and they rented the lifeboats, and they had the restaurant that floated. Pretty outdated. So there's a lesson in that for us. Let's all use classical Greek, which never gets out of date, as I'm telling you. I just burn them up here. Like one of these 89-cent fireplace logs, you know, that they make out of old crushed newspapers. I just burn them up because what the hell, an idea is the easiest thing to get in the world. It's a realization that's hard to get. Contrary to the old idea, you know, that the idea itself is the most difficult thing. Oh, no. To actually bring it off is the hard thing. There's probably not one of you out there who hasn't had an idea for a great movie. How many of you have made one? There's my Sidney Greasy. Not bad. Well, so you know, ideas are a dime a dozen. It's finished products that come hard. And so, hang on for 1 minute. Would we please set it up in there? All right. We would like to salute the great mass, the hoi polloi out there, the great moiling masses, in the only way I know how. Please hit the button.
First thing you do is let them know that you're there. This requires volume.
This is, by the way, a little...
The second thing you need to
words
do
of advice to anybody that wants to write a commercial.
To let them know that you're calling pigs. This is the second part of the call. And the third thing is to even get the little fellows that have just left their mama.
Oh,
get
yes,
their
that's the one that really...
So it goes like this.
Notice that? Plenty of volume, plenty of follow-through. Boy, she gets a diaphragm in there. Listen to her. There, that's good. Oh, come on there. Here they come. Whoa.
That lasts for the little fellas.
Oh, little fellas, so cute. Get off my knee. All right, reset that, Arthur. We may need that later on. This is a... I think in one brief 47-second excerpt there, we have said more about the whole advertising world than all of the compendiums compiled in all the communication courses in the world. Doyle, Dane, Bernbach, and Dingbat, all the rest of them. Just listen to this, fellas. All you copywriters out there, listen carefully. We will play it again and apply these principles to any copy that you're about to write. Please, once again, please, Arthur, please. Get it set in there. You don't get this crowd of pigs. So
first thing you do...
Now listen carefully, gang.
Let them know that you're there.
That's right. That's important.
Volume.
Come on, big.
The second thing you need to do is to, after you get their attention, is to let them know that you're calling pigs.
That's right. Tell them what you're doing.
This is the second part of the call. And the third thing.
Not easy to do that.
Is to even get the little fellows that have just left their mama.
Now you got
to
get them all. The kids, the whole crowd. You got to get them wanting that toilet paper. That's it. Squeeze the Charmin. Come on, gang. Now, how do you get the little ones? Well, you run the little kid in the end, and he talks to the Charmin man himself. Watch this. Oh, that's the killer right there.
That last for the little fellow.
Right, that's it. I smell clean. I smell. Oh, God, where will it ever stop? Now, before we go any further, I must say, this, as you notice, this show has a certain sardonic overtone to it. You notice that? Well, a sardonic overtone comes naturally. Anybody who is alive and walking around today with his ears working, with the antenna out, has to wind up sardonic. Either that or you wind up a true believer. And I can't understand how you could get to be that. I mean, you know, it's not easy. So, well, what's the matter? I mean, come on. Well, on the subject, you don't mind if I throw a little European language there. It gives a certain emphasis to what I have to say. Tout suite, you know. Merci beaucoup. And now, don't write to me and tell me my French pronunciation is atrocious. It's meant to be. Quite often, you know, when you're speaking, you adapt to your speech patterns the argot of the people to whom you are speaking. So if you wish to do a Jersey show, you say, I don't want none of them cheese things. Or, you know, use phrases of that type. I don't want one of them Big Macs. You know, typical Jersey phrase of existence. You have to learn to roll with the punch. To coin a phrase. And, how about some Hawaiian punch? Would you like a little Hawaiian punch? Huh? No, I guess not. I wonder how many people have been afraid to buy Hawaiian punch because they're afraid some little hand is going to come out of the can, give them one in the eye. You'd be surprised, yeah. I know one guy that was worried about his cigar account, and he says he's trying to get him to change the package, and I said, why? He said, well, you know, you'd be surprised how many people are afraid of owls. I said, oh, I see. No wonder. Hey, God, sneaks up on you. I wonder if in the big centennial, you know, the bicentennial celebration in 1976, if we're going to really celebrate what America has really given to the world, how about a giant float celebrating PR? That's one of our art forms. I don't think people in any given time understand their own art forms. I repeat, for the benefit of art students out there, I don't think that at any given time the people who are alive at that time really appreciate the true art form of their time. For example, do you think that the walking around Egyptian, say 4,520 years ago, really understood that those pyramids would ultimately be the thing that the Egyptians are? No, I doubt it. He just figured, what the hell are they building all this? You know, this is ridiculous. The boondock keep the people at work, so what? You know, and they're going around griping, and it's about all that we've got left from them. Would you agree with that? Right. The art form of a time is rarely appreciated by the vast mass of people of the time. In fact, do you really believe that crowds followed Telemann around, a great Baroque composer, do you? No way. He was not even on the top 10 at any point in anything he wrote. Even his trumpet voluntary. You know, I could go on with the trumpet voluntary. I'm sure you wouldn't want to hear that tonight. But Byzantine is not quite the same as Baroque, although there are certain overtones common to both. If you wish to pursue that school of thought, I'm not. I'm not going to pursue it tonight. It's okay. You can relax. But no, you can relax. Okay, you can come back. But on the other hand, the Byzantine world of advertising and PR and the Baroque world of Byzantine advertising and PR, it's not a contradiction in terms. They're the same. There's also a religious quality that runs through it. You have to believe. Oh, yes, belief is very important when you're doing a commercial, very important. And it's just like when you're playing in a play, any kind of an acting job, you got to believe. And so, have you noticed Mr. Whipple really does weep real tears when those ladies start squeezing the Charmin? Because he believes. It's important to believe. And I think every man has to believe in something, don't you? Right. All the problem is what you choose to believe in, right? That's right. Some guys believe in collecting match covers. Other guys believe in ravaging Europe. So belief itself is not necessarily a good thing per se. every open I know of is sponsored either by a comic or by a singer. I don't know what singers have got to do with golf, but there's a very close corollary. But have you noticed comics are beginning to creep into the tennis world? Yeah, you know, it's the Allen King Open, you know? Eventually, it's going to be the Harpo Marx mixed doubles. says a lot about that type of sports. It's all showbiz in the yard wide, buddy. All showbiz, showbizzeroony. That's what it's about. Wait till Muhammad Ali challenges Howard Cosell for $12 million for four rounds of yelling. I'll bet any money that the ABC would pick up the tab for that. Howard Cosell versus Muhammad Ali in a yelling contest. Four rounds. Winner take all. You know, $12 million. I can just see. Well, I don't know what's the matter with me here. You know, speaking of yelling contests, we've been getting a lot of letters recently about people saying, what's the date of your yearly Princeton concert, which we do every year as a benefit for WPRB, the college radio station. Now, you know, college radio is coming on real big these days, and they need all the help they can get. I have great faith in college radio, but nevertheless, every year we do a Princeton benefit for WPRB, the radio station down there, and it's held in probably the greatest Gothic horror chamber since The Hunchback of Notre Dame, played by Lon Chaney, first stalked out on the set. Did you ever see that movie, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, with Lon Chaney, with the cobwebs? Unbelievable. Wow. Well, that reminds me of Alexander Hall, where we do the show every year at Princeton. If you want to see a great piece of Victorian monstrosity, it's known as Princeton's Folly, and it is. It's like a giant toad right in the middle of that beautiful campus, but it's great, you know. And I have always felt that that this hall is much more suited to sacrificing a virgin, you know, with organ music playing in the background, with torches flickering up there, you know, hooded figures skulking in the blackness, you know, and a big gong when they do the thing, you know. But every year we do this there, and it's great. It's the biggest personal show I do a year, really. And it's going to be on the anniversary of D-Day this year, June 6th. And it's going to be a heck of a lot more fun than the Normandy invasion. Stunned the Western world as the 4th Army, as the 4th Division hits Omaha Beach. But it's going to be June 6th at Princeton. That's going to be at night, 8:45. That'll be a Friday night. So get your babysitter all set. Tell your wife she's going to stay home that night and take that babysitter. She'll dig it far more than your wife will. And you probably would, too, in that case. You know, the parking lot at McDonald's after the show, you know that. You're thinking about that, Art. But nevertheless, we'll be at Princeton the 6th of June, a benefit for WPRB. And if you'd like to find out for tickets, call 921-9284. That's Jersey area code 609, 921-9284. And that's sponsored by wonderful WPRB Radio. They bring you the good stuff. Hey, you know, fun is what it's about, I suppose. You know, that's the hedonistic school of thought in life. The hedonists, you know, they're always running into the Stoics. It's a terrible battle going on at all times. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that that's what our ultimate political battles are always about. The hedonists versus the Stoics. And I'm not talking about the Stoic that brings the babies. Oh, that was awful. Stoic art. S-T-O-I-C. Do you get it? Stoic. I knew you'd get it. He had that dumb look. Art's mustache suddenly drooped. He'd quite get it. Yeah, you go. You droop your mustache is great. I mean, I'd like to ask the trivia question of the night. Whatever happened to Sonny of Sonny and Cher? Bum, ba-dum, bum. Sam Spade is after him. Missing persons. The big blonde walked into my office, and I knew right away it was going to be one hell of a case. I smashed her in the gut, sat down, and says, here, have some bourbon. Okay, that opens. You like that opening? Right. Okay. How much time do I have in there, thank you, Mark. Very good, very good. We have just time now to do a show. About 3.5 minutes, right? Well, no. What I would like to bring up here, if I may, is that for a long time, you've heard Shepard constantly saying that no matter what you say in any mass medium, immediately after you say it, you get 17 letters either correcting you or taking issue with you or pointing out that you don't really know what you're talking about. Always the implication sitting out there writing the letters do, of course. They have a firm grasp on everything. You wonder why they're still working at the Shell station, you know? But nevertheless, this is a common America. This is what's called the ultimate triumph of democracy, or the Yahoo overall. There isn't a single Yahoo around who doesn't think he knows more about medicine than the average doctor. Oh, yeah, you know, I've met many types. Well, what do them doctors know? I mean, yeah, what, they can't even cure the common cold. Well, you tell them, of course, curing the common cold is a lot more complicated than, say, curing diphtheria or tuberculosis. He doesn't understand it. What do you mean? They're more serious diseases. Well, the Yahoo always knows. He does. And no matter what you say on the air, you're going to get a fanatic writing you. For example, if you say, you mention something about stamps, instantly, 5,000 guys say, Shepard, you do not realize the deep philosophical implication of the postage stamp that goes back to, and you know, he goes on, he gets very angry and finally threatens to call the FCC, and you know, if you don't come on and say good things about stamps, you say a bad thing about a mosquito. And you wind up with, did you know that there's a Mosquito Protective Association of Upper Bergen County who believes that the mosquitoes have been bad-mouthed for years? And, oh, you don't say, sure, what do you think's behind all this anti-DDT stuff? Oh, God works in sneaky ways. However, listen to this now. I'll give you one right here. I hold this up for Exhibit A. Now, a few weeks ago, inadvertently, I made reference to something on the show and just skippingly passed by, as is my superficial wont, right? And here's a letter that came very, it's handwritten, very carefully. You can always tell that type, you know, sitting down, licking the pen and working away there, see? And here it says, Dear Mr. Shepherd, when they open up like that, you know you're in for some goodies. Dear Mr. Shepherd, this is in reference to your use of the term, quote, cow flop on one of your shows. In a recent letter, I attempted to instill in you a full appreciation for the energy potential of bovine manure. Period. Apparently, I failed. I suggest that the term, quote, bovine quantum, end of quote, be used in place of the term cow flop, which is a term of approbation and sarcasm. Period. Please realize that we are not dealing with Mother Nature's frisbees, but rather with units of usable energy, period. The importance of this energy source should not be underestimated, especially by smart types like you, period. Before you become offended by this reprimand, please consider one thing. Bovine manure specialists need all of the good public relations that they can get, period. Unlike you. They are not invited to elegant social affairs, nor do they dine with various authors and various famous actors, nor do they get bestsellers published like you do, period. They are unpopular, even within the American Society of Agronomy. That's in caps, the American Society of Agronomy. But this group does not ask for sympathy. No, the bovine manure specialists. You see, bovine manure specialists are a part of a very large, ongoing movement. Okay. You know, you get this kind of letter. Incidentally, there were three copies. One was sent to a law firm in Manhattan. Another was sent to President Ford. And somehow the Pope got in on it. He got a copy, too. It says, let me provide you with some more facts so that you may appreciate the awesome power of bovine quanta. Period. I include the calculations as this one is hard to believe. You absolutely refuse to acknowledge my previous letter, and in fact, I've obviously completely ignored it. As I mentioned in my previous letter, about 191 million metric tons of bovine manure are available on any given day. Yes, I did ignore that. I must admit, when I got that first letter, and I only ignored it, I hollered to my assistant, Mark. I said, hey, Mark, look at this cuckoo bird. Well, of course, he was right. I did ignore that. You want to hear more about this subject, do you? All right, I'm just going to let you know what's going on out there. You don't hear this kind of stuff on Eric Severide. You just don't. And he gets this kind of letter, right? A 47% conversion to fuel oil has been demonstrated. Did you hear that? Now, here's this magnificent set of these are quadratic equations. 191 times 10 to the 6th power metric tons manure, x point 47 equals 89.77 times 10 to the 6th power metric tons converted to grams. He's converted it all to grams. He says, now, a World War II atomic bomb, which was the equivalent of 20,000 tons of TNT, contained 2 times 10 to the 13th power calories. The atomic bomb equivalent of bovine manure is 4.407 times 10 to the 4th power, or 40,000.400 bombs. Well, there you are. I mean, we've been kicking around in pastures all over the world more power than is contained in the atom bomb. He says, remember, this is just for bovine manure. He says, oh, God. He said, if only brontosaurus were alive today, what we in our society could do. Now he goes on to finish up the letter. Do you find this letter interesting? Here's a man. Well, he's laying it out. He says, of course, the gasification process is more familiar to most people. It has long been known that inflammable gases are readily produced from the digestive tract waste of bovine animals particularly. Many experiments have been devised to show this effect, but none have been more sensational than one performed by an obscure Roman slave, which I cannot go into here at this point because there are kids listening to it. It was one hell of an experiment, and he did prove, beyond a question of a doubt, that inflammable gases were produced. In fact, he blew up half the Colosseum, and he only had two small bulls. And what's more, they were Greek bulls and not even Roman bulls. They don't produce as much gas. This was signed by the head of the Bovine Manure Society of America. And he says, I demand an immediate apology and retraction. Well, I do apologize. Sir, I apologize. I will not retract my smart remarks, but I will apologize. I will apologize, and we have straightened it out there, right? I'll tell you, if I came out tomorrow night, if I came on and I said, that, you know, one of the most disgusting habits of all is sticking Wrigley spearmint gum on the bottom of theater seats, you know what would happen? Now, already the letters are being written. I can hear the pens now scratching out there in the dark. There would be a group, there is a group, no doubt, a group formed to preserve chewing gum wads on the bottom of seats as an important future artifact for archaeologists who will study the chewing gum wads to determine the various sociological trends current among the 20th century people. Now that I put it that way, it sounds kind of logical, doesn't it? And they would say, you and your rash, ridiculous statements have caused, once again, the unreasonable public's attitude towards chewing gum wads on the bottom of seats to once again be biased and prejudiced against these chewing gum wads. What would it be like if some smart guy like your type came on back in, say, 2000 B.C., and said, what we ought to do is get rid of all these mummies that are cluttering up this horizon, all these dead bodies laying around, and all these dead birds and stuff. Where would today's Egyptologists be? Good question. I don't know now. Well, you know, I just thought that I didn't really want to bother you like that with the story about the bovine quantum. But if you think I'm kidding, this is an absolute movement going on today. As a matter of fact, did you know that that the movement that was big, you remember that big movement about 10 years ago to put animals in clothes? Yeah, I mean, they says, you know, hey, these animals are walking around. We have all these decency laws and stuff, and these animals are walking around, and, you know, it can get awful embarrassing, right? And so there was a great campaign to you know, put little booties on them and put the little French poodle types in bikinis so we wouldn't be offended by the sight of all that, you know, all that equipment there. And let's face it, that's what it is. And putting bras on cows because, you know, you drive along the street there, you get out in the country and all these cows just standing around. Look at them. I mean, they're ridiculous. I mean, you know, this embarrasses a lot of station wagon drivers. With the kids are out on a Sunday afternoon, all of a sudden the cows are all hanging over the fence and everything is hanging out like that. And so the kids start to say, hey, what's that, Daddy? And Daddy, of course, says, well, it's spigots there. You turn them off and on, and chocolate milk comes out. Gee, Daddy. And it embarrasses everybody. So the idea was to put them in the bras and stuff. Well, you know, the bras are getting very big now. Yes, one of the biggest sellers today in the farm equipment is the bovine bra. And it comes in several fascinating styles. There's a see-through peekaboo model for the younger set, the young heifers. And, of course, then there's the great big, what they call the gunny sack model for the more mature milk producers who have long since given up trying to look like Gloria Steinem and have settled for Betty Friedan. And, you know, so ultimately this is getting to be a very big thing. And I see that NBC recently did a special on doggy clothes. And, yes, and you know, you can get the... In fact, there was a clown on one of the shows where he had 147 different changes of costume for his Yorkie. Yes, you know, he had a little set of blue jeans for hanging around the kennel on his day off, a little T-shirt that says love on it, and a piece, and I smoke marijuana red. You know, I smoke Acapulco green. And, you know, it's a movement today. And for those of you who have not kept up with the movement in the bovine world, that the bovine bra has become extremely big. It's big by nature, but, you know, I didn't quite mean it that way, but it's become quite fashionable. And in spite of this, you know, it's saddening, too, to realize that in our day of liberating morality, you know, which is rampant on all sides, our day of doing away with all those old ridiculous, outmoded Victorian concepts of modesty and all that other jazz, to find that the animal world is going the opposite direction. I mean, you know, it's kind of sad to go out to the country and see this whole herd of cows come along there, all wearing their bras, and of course they're wearing their little bikini bottoms, the whole bit. See, and when they come moving up to the fence. And you find that Jacques Fath or somebody like Gavanche or someone like, you know, one of the, Saint Laurent is doing the Guernsey cow scene now. And, you know, he's making them up for all those jerseys out there. But I suppose when the bra business is going the way it's been going, you know, what with bra burnings all over the country, you have to turn to something. And... whatever happened to that great ad they used to have? I dreamed I something something in my maiden form. Do you remember that one? You know, and that shows you know, somebody dreaming they were walking down the Fifth Avenue in their maiden form something. But that's all, you know, that's all part. That went the way of Lucky Strike Green, didn't it? Right? Yeah, it sure did. Lucky Strike Green, Ask the Man Who Owns One. That was the Packard one, right? Apparently, too many people did. And it just put them right out of business, you know. But be careful of your slogans. People are liable to take you up on it. I mean, you know, you come out with a big slogan, and they're liable to say, well, let's try that, huh? Like you squeeze the bread, and the package breaks open. The bread falls all over the floor, and the next thing you know, well, I'll bring it up there big there, please. Thank you, thank you. Right. Hey, it's just, you know, I just, all I have to say is that I have to throw in a disclaimer here. I'm just really sorry that that it all had to come out like this, really. I mean, it started so bright and cheerful and wound up with the bras and the cows walking around and this guy who wrote me this letter from the Bovine Quantum Society of America. And, oh, you know, it's just really, wow, wowie, you know? Wow. You know, sometimes you just really get tired just thinking of life. Do you know that it takes 4,200 flowers just to make a tablespoon of honey? That's how many trips that poor little mother bee's got to make, struggling back and forth. And what do? You go into A&P and buy it for 89 cents a quart, you know. Do you care? No. That's right. Mankind stomps onward, uncaring, unfeeling, bending the civilization and the world and the entire cosmos to his ridiculous, arcane desires. Arcane meaning out in the past, right? I mean, you remember when people had emotions. That's what that's about. You remember when they had emotions? Remember when people used to kiss other people and used to say things like, Elizabeth, I love you? Do you remember those days? It's been a long time, right? But, you know, that's all arcane. You know that one of the magazines now today has been sending me regularly in the mail pornographic tapes. Yeah, they send me a tape. They said, this is the stuff we couldn't put in our articles. Oh, it says, you can play them on the air if you want. It says, please give us credit. Would you like to hear some art? I got a whole collection of them. Woo-hoo! Things are really changing, bud. Yes.